But I'm interested in this because in your address to the jury, you make a distinction between a trade union and a socialist party.
Yeah.
Would you explain that?
Well, a trade union deals, make it brief, deals with economic matters. A political party concerns itself with political issues.
Now the reason I'm asking you this is because part of the charge that was leveled against you and the others is that you were using the general strike to advance the cause of socialism. Did you see it that way?
No.
Did you see this general strike as a way about at coming at a revolution?
The first I knew of the Winnipeg strike was when we got word in the Vancouver Trades Council that they were coming. It was coming about. And as you know, there was a committee met in Calgary to do some organizing work. And that committee said that I should go down to Winnipeg and have a look, see if there's any possibility of getting it settled. I went and had a look. You know, 4 days.
In other words, you had nothing to do with the general strike.
No. No, that should be noted, that of all the men that were charged in this trial, I was the only one outside of Winnipeg, and I came 1,500 miles away.
And you were arrested in Calgary?
Yes, but I was coming home.
It took you a long time to get home.
Well, it's taken me longer to go to other places since then, and I don't regret it, as I told my friend Miss McLaughlin, you know, being in jail isn't so bad. Make the best of it, especially when you find out afterwards that you've been in worse places. You know. A little time, you can do some thinking there. And another thing, when I asked the judge, he wanted to know if there's anything he could do, and I said, I've been a man that always read, and I would like books. I would like to get some books, you know. What did they do? They sent into jail the very books that have been used as exhibits of a conspiracy. All these works that were under the government ban, they sent in 3 volumes of Marxist Capital, and it was still under the ban. That is, providing it was published by Kerr. If you had 3 volumes published by Swan Sonnenschein in London, they were not under the ban. Okay? That's how silly the thing was. Oh, I got the books, and we studied in jail.
Mr. Pritchard, in your address, you give the very clear impression that the spirit of militancy that hung over the Winnipeg general strike and that played a large part in causing it was due not to the immediate economic conditions, but to the situation that had developed politically during the war.
Yeah.
The working class, apparently, according to you, had lots of grievances about how they were, how they fared under wartime conditions.
Right.
Would you like to elaborate on that?
I had the document before me when I was addressing the jury of the charges of corruption in the government in the matter of the Hay contract, of the Ross rifle, of the shoes that fell to pieces that were given to the soldiers. This was not my charge. This was a charge of responsible authorities in Canada.
Was there a commission of an inquiry into those charges?
Oh, sure.
And what did they find?
They found what I'm telling you. This is the story. It's there. If you look it up, you'll catch on to it. But this is what I wanted to get to the jury. And I'm stopped by the judge. Because I am giving this as my opinion, and I couldn't even tell them who the man was that wrote it, because we didn't put in any defense. They would have made the trial too long, for one thing, so we had to do the best we could from the evidence brought in by the Crown. I was bringing this matter to the attention of the jury, and I mentioned the shoes.
What was that about the shoes?
They fell to pieces.
The shoes that were supplied to the Canadian
soldiers? Supplied
soldiers.
To the troops at the front. and the Ross rifle that jammed in the hands of the soldiers. This was documented by the man who made the charge against the government. And the judge said, Pritchard, is it your opinion that the soldiers were supplied with faulty shoes, or was, I'm paraphrasing now? I said, yes. It is. He says, was it your opinion? I said, it was, and it is. And then he went on with a ramble about it had nothing to do with the case, you see. And they had to tell then, in front of the jury, if it is found in this trial that you're guilty of sedition, then it changed the subject. And I refused to go on with the argument. So it stayed at that. But all those charges I made to the jury were documented from outside. And it's nice to know 50 years or so afterwards that when you state, as I did, that I did not know what the outcome would be of that trial, but I knew in my own mind that the historian of the future would drive the knife of critical research into the very bowels of this bogey that had been conjured forth out of the imaginations of certain legal luminaries of this city. I didn't know that I was a prophet, and I've lived to see the day. That is what impressed the reporter in Victoria when he told the book.
You also said, and this is something that I'd like you to elaborate on, you said it is not only that we didn't engage in conspiracy, the strikers, because that was the word in every one of the six charges was conspiracy.
Yeah.
But you said that the government was engaged in a conspiracy.
Right. And the Citizens Committee, and the lawyers that formed it, and Arthur Meehan, and Gideon Robertson, and all the rest who wanted to break that strike and not settle it.
And do you feel that that has been proven by history?
I've got a book here that... this is Winnipeg 1919. Now, what, do you want more proof than that? Oh, you better go and write another book, brother. It's right in there,
well,
isn't it? Yeah. And as I said
the
before...
reason, the reason I'm saying that is because I have a selfish reason. One of the reviews of this book by... and this review happens to be by Donald Masters, who is, in my opinion, still the outstanding authority on the strike. From a historical viewpoint, his understanding and interpretation are not always what I would like. But he said that I and you are, that the word conspire is too strong a word to use.
Against the government?
Against the government. Perhaps he has in mind the charges of conspiracy that are now circulating around in the connection with Watergate, but he says, conspire is too strong a word because it connotes sinister plotting to do wrong things. Do you think there was sinister plotting to do wrong things?
Have you read the illiterate documents sent by the agents of the Crown when they were doing their spy work to Ottawa?
I've read some of them.
It amuses me that they can always find fellows to do their work that are incapable even of reading, and they can report on political and industrial matters at length. A grade school kid wouldn't write that kind of letter. No, conspiracy, I stay with that. After all, what does it mean? To breathe together. Now, if Arthur Meehan and Borden, and they were in a panic, because the world was in ferment then, at that time. Following the Russian Revolution, everything was one. In the United States, it went even worse.